You know, I read the other day that that the average human being makes 35,000 choices a day. That's a lot of choices. You know? Yeah, I mean, it's funny if you think about it, that's probably really pretty accurate. I mean, we're always making choices. You know, they're all over the place. I mean, think about even your prayer life. I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, my prayer life consists much more of, God, what direction am I supposed to? God, what should I do on this? What should I do on that? And most of my prayer life is even asking for God to guide me in the decisions that I'm going to make. I mean, the decisions are, you know, they fill our life. I mean, they fill our life. I mean, if you do the math and you sleep 7 hours a day, 35,000 decisions. That's about a decision every 2 seconds. I mean, they're probably small decisions, big decisions. They're probably hard decisions, not so hard. There are probably some decisions that are immediate and some that are planned. There are good decisions, there's bad decisions. There's no decision, which many of us fall into that category, don't we? Where we sort of say, well, we're just going to let it happen. But truly, you decided that you were going to do that. So you chose whatever comes at you. You chose. You aren't proactive, you're reactive in that regard. You know, it's just so funny because I wonder how many times that the decisions I make, the choices I make, I wonder how many of them are wise and how many of them are foolish. You know, in the Old Testament reading we have today, it's a story written in the book of Joshua about when, after Moses has died and they've buried him and they've grieved him, the nation of Israel, after the 40 years in the desert, they go into the Promised Land. They go into the Promised Land. And when they get into the Promised Land, it says that Joshua, who's now the replacement for Moses, calls them all together, the leaders and the priests and all the judges, everybody comes together. And at Shechem, he asks them a question. He basically says this: now, who are you going to serve now that you're in the Promised Land? Are you going to serve the God that you sort of worshiped back when you were in Egypt, beyond the river? Who are you going to serve? And then Joshua says very clearly, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's funny because if you listen to that reading that you know, it was just read, I mean, it's almost like he goes back and forth. Let me tell you something. If you don't serve the Lord, this is what could happen. That's what he says. And then he says, who are you going to serve? He asks him almost again, who are you going to serve? And when they say they're going to serve the Lord, he goes, well, then your witness is against yourself. In other words, I want this to be a deliberate decision, not just sort of a spontaneous, not thought through decision. How deliberate are your decisions? I mean, how committed are you to the decisions that you make? I mean, do you follow through with them? Do you move along with them? Or is it just kind of like, I just respond at the time, wherever I want to do it? And how do you make your decisions? Are they made simply out of what's going to serve you best? Or are they made with a little bit more depth of, wait a second, let me look at the ramifications, the consequences of this decision? How do you operate with your decisions? Because as Christians, we are called to be deliberate with our decisions, to think them through. You know, I love the story in the gospel that we have today. I've read this 1,000 times, and you know, I mean, think about it. I just read it to you, and it's a story of that Jesus tells about the parable. There are 10 bridesmaids, and he's using the analogy of the wedding feast as the gathering of the Messiah with the believers that come together. And he says that there's 10 bridesmaids. 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. The 5 that were wise, when they packed up to go out and meet the bridegroom, which he describes a typical wedding in the first century in a Jewish community, okay? He says the 5 that were wise, they brought fat flasks of oil because they didn't know how long it was going to take. The foolish ones, they had just brought their torches, you know? Then it says that the time took longer than they were expecting, and finally they hear the voice, the bridegroom's coming. Now, they're all asleep. the wise and the foolish, everybody's asleep. And when they all are waking up, well, all 10 of them, what do? They trim their lamps. But when they start trimming their lamps, all of a sudden the foolish say, oh my God, we don't have enough oil to make it through. And they go to the wise ones and they say, give us some of your oil. Basically, and this always bothers me the way it's worded, but it is what it is. The wise say, I can't do that. Might not be enough for me. You know, they can't do it. You better go to the local stores. You know, I don't know whether that's Walmart or what, but they have to go to the local stores to get more oil. And so the foolish run off to get more oil. While they're off running off, what happens? The bridegroom shows up. The five wise go into the wedding banquet. And when they get in the wedding banquet, the door is closed. The foolish ones, after I guess they get more oil, come back. And they come and the door is locked. And they knock on the door and basically the bridegroom says, I don't know you. And then all of a sudden the punchline, be alert, be awake, for you don't know when the hour is going to come. You know, think about it. It doesn't say that the five that were wise were good ones and the five that were foolish were bad ones. They're all the same, aren't they? I mean, every one of those bridesmaids are the same. The only difference between the bridesmaids, the wise seem to know to pack some extra oil, and the foolish seem to not think about it. I wonder what they were thinking about when they didn't pack the oil. You know, you think they were sort of standing, you know, in front of a mirror thinking, you know, I think my dress looks really good for this wedding today. I mean, I do that every day before I come out to do the service. How does my dress look? I'm in white. You know what I mean? Were they saying, my makeup just isn't, can you help me with my hair? I mean, what were they thinking? What was going on in their minds? What distracted them? What distracts you from making a good decision? What makes you not make deliberate decisions? I mean, let's put it online here. Anybody here can raise your hand and say you've never made a bad decision? I can't. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I've made some whoppers. But a decision that is made that is not such a good decision can always be corrected by redirecting your course by making a good decision after you've made a bad decision, correct? So the question isn't based on just one decision that you made, it's how you deal with it the rest of the way through. You know, in the New Testament, it talks about the kingdom of heaven, and actually Jesus uses this analogy of the 10 bridesmaids to describe the kingdom of heaven. That's what it just said. And the kingdom of heaven, the essence of the kingdom of heaven that is taught when you really look at it is that the kingdom of heaven, the essence of it is the already, the not yet. In other words, it's already here. Don't forget, what does Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven is within you. When he sends out his disciples to go out and minister to the people, even when he's walking this earth, always tell the people, you know, if you welcome you, or if they do welcome you, whatever you do when you leave, you say, the kingdom of heaven's come near. So it's already here, and yet it's not yet fully here. I think decision is just that, being wise. It's where we live in the moment, and we make the decision based on, yes, where we are right now, because the moment is the only moment that we have, but it's also based on the moments that are going to follow. That we move not just in how it's going to serve me right now, you look at it beyond how it's going to serve not just me, but my family, my ancestors, and all the people that are ahead. Not based on just what's good for me for the moment. So let me take care of myself, but down the road, well, you know, the heck with them. They're on their own. You see, I think wise decisions are based on principles more than personality. And yet I think in this day and age, we tend to center more on personality than we do on principles. I think the Christian faith is based on, if you just put it down like that way, on principles. It is based on the person of Jesus. Do not misunderstand. But that's a person, not a personality. We fall in love with the person of Christ because he loves us back. We don't fall in love with Christ because Jesus is a funny guy. We fall in love with Jesus because he meets us where we're at. We don't fall in love with him because, oh man, he's going to tell me exactly what I want to hear. Because I don't know about you, Jesus has not told me everything I wanted to hear throughout my life. In fact, he's told me a lot of things I didn't want to hear. But there were things that I needed to hear. You see, I wonder in my own life how many times I really am wise and how many times in my life I'm really foolish in my decisions. Because we all are both sides of the coin. But I want to be more wise than I do want to be foolish. And the way I think I can do that is because sometimes I can really make a decision well in the immediate. In the immediate time, in the moment, the already I can do. But it's the not yet that sometimes I kind of just phase out. You know, I've started to do something different in my life in this last week when I looked at the scriptures. And that is, I look at, in my life, how many folks I encounter and do nice things for or care for or whatever that I'm getting nothing back from. I mean nothing back. I mean where they might not even register. It's those acts of random kindness. And I remember the first time I ever had that. I pulled up on the Garden State Parkway. I was on my way to the Jersey Shore and I pulled up into the toll booth and went to pull out my quarter, which, by the way, when I was in my 20s, a quarter was a lot of money. I could buy a beer with that, you know? And I pulled up to the toll booth and I went to hand him my quarter at the toll booth, and the guy looks at me, the toll exchange guy, he goes, it's been paid forward, you're good to go. Now, I don't know who gave it. I don't know what happened? I don't know why that happened. But I look at myself, how many times in my life do I do things like that now? Not to keep a score, but to rather to look at my own character. You know, it's real easy to care for other people when you're getting something back. And I mean sometimes even if you get sort of that affirmation back that you might say not count as, you know, anything. That's not where it's money back or it's not like it's property back, or it's not where they something physically given back, but rather where you just simply are kind for the sake of being kind, where you just patient just for the sake of being patient. I mean, think about the other side of that. If you never used wise decisions, you always use foolish decisions. Yeah, think of that mixture. What kind of recipe would it be? We all go out and try and just think for the moment the way we are. We all get on I-4 together, all with concealed weapons permits. That'd be fun. And yet that's the way many of us operate a lot of the time, isn't it? Well, see, I think what the scripture teaches us more than anything else about being wise is how do you make a choice? How do you make a decision? And is it based not just on what you want in the moment, or is it based on what's already, but not yet, and how it might be even when you're not around anymore? I'm always blown away with the fact that God somehow teaches us. I'm always blown away with the fact that he gives us so much choice. Sometimes I wish he would just make the decisions for me. But if he just made the decisions for me, then I wouldn't become the person I'm called to be. You see, we are in the already, the not yet. You're in process as much as your decisions are supposed to be in process. You're in process of becoming more of what you're called to be. But you got to be deliberate and intentional about it. It means that you got to pay attention. After all, what does Jesus say? Be alert. Stay awake. Because every day that you have, every moment that you have, is an opportunity to become more like him. So I guess I'll ask you the question that Joshua asked. Who are you going to serve this day? I pray that as I go through the Eucharist today and as I go through this day today, just for today, that as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And that tomorrow I'll do right and do that again. But the way I'll know I'm doing it again is if, as I go through the day, I ask myself, now, who was I kind to that I really didn't have to be kind to? Who was I patient with that I really didn't have to be patient with? Who was I patient with that I really should be patient with? And who was it that I gave to that won't even know that I gave to them? As you come to the Eucharist, know this, the Holy Spirit will guide you. As you come to the Eucharist, know this, the Holy Spirit will sustain you. As you come to the Eucharist, know this, the Holy Spirit goes out with you. So you have the ability to make those decisions, those choices, with both the already and the not yet. And that's in that process, God will mold and shape you into all that you're called to be. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.